of merit, Lili Nishmas, Rav Ben Sion, and Rav Yeshayahu HaKohen. So this is an excerpt from a wonderful book called Nesivos Shalom. Nesivos Shalom is the write-ups of the Torah lectures of Rav Noach Shalom Berezovsky. Rabbi Berezovsky was a survivor of World War II. He was married to the daughter of the Slonimer Rebbe. And after the war, he became the Rebbe of the Hasidic group Slonim. Do you, Mrs. Agus, does your family have a connection to Slonim?
No, not, but I'm very close with the people who are the Dyckman family. I'm very close.
Oh, yeah, the Dyckmans were connected to Slonim.
Yes, so I've met them all with the dinners, yeah.
Wow, okay. So it's I seem to remember that Dr. Agus told me that his family...
No, they're not Slonim.
His family had a connection to the Cutlers somehow.
Yes, yeah.
Rebbetzin Cutler was from his shtetl.
Parents and Saul was very close with the Rabbi Aaron Cutler. It went down, there were more stories with that, but they're very
wow.
close.
Wow. I think Rabbi Cutler was from Slonim. I don't know. I mean, Slonim was not, it was Lithuania, I think.
No, he was from the same place that Saul's parents.
Oh, he was from where Saul's parents were? Okay. Okay, so this is from the Slonimer Rebbe. It's a very popular book, Nesivos Shalom. Part of why it's so popular is that generally Hasidic works are pretty brief and they assume a lot of prior knowledge, a lot of Kabbalah and Jewish philosophy. And the Nesivos Shalom, Rabbi Berezovsky, he would explain himself. He wasn't so brief. He really would spell it out. And also he would really combine Hasidic thought with, you know, classical encouragement, Musar, a little bit of learning, a little bit of Gemara analysis. So he has here an essay where he discusses a very famous medrash. So this is the beginning here, letter Aleph. The verse begins, Our parsha, v'haya ki tavo el ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha nosein lecha nachala. It will be when you will come into the land. That's why it's called Parshas Ki Tavo, the Parsha of the coming, to the land that Hashem is giving to you as an inheritance. V'yirishta, you will inherit the land. V'yashavta ba, you'll settle in the land. And then right away, what's the first mitzvah? V'lakachta me'reshis kol pri ha'adama. And you are to take from the first of the fruits of the land. And as the Gemara explains, that's a reference to the seven special fruits. Wheat, barley, grapes, pomegranates, figs, dates, olives. These are the seven special fruits of the land of Israel. When a landowner merits that a tree of his that has dates or figs or pomegranates, when the first fruit appears on the tree, he has a mitzvah to mark that fruit, tie a red string around that fruit, and then he waits till it fully ripens. Once it ripens, he picks it, puts it into a basket, and brings it all the way up to Yerushalayim. And he goes to the Beit HaMikdash, and in the Beit HaMikdash, he delivers this basket with the first fruit to the Kohen who's there, and he makes a declaration. We're very familiar with the words of the declaration because those are the words that are the basis of the Haggadah of Pesach. And he, you know, waves the basket, bows down, and he leaves. So this is called the mitzvah of Bikurim, the mitzvah of the first fruits, to take the first fruits and bring it to Eretz to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah describes it as v'lakachta, you will take me'reshis kol pri adama, from the first of the fruits of the earth. The first pomegranate, the first date, the first fig, they're brought up to Yerushalayim, given to the Kohen. So there's a very famous and difficult medrash. The medrash in the Sifri states, Ma'amar Chazal b'Sifri, Asei mitzvah ha'amura ba'inyan. The Sifri says, why does this section begin with ki tavo el ha'aretz, when you come to the land? Do this mitzvah that's written here, the mitzvah of Bikurim, shebischara, for in its reward and in its merit, tikanes la'aretz, you will enter the land. That's so difficult. You only do this mitzvah once you're in the land. So what is the Medrash trying to say? Do this mitzvah, in its merit you will enter the land. You're in the land, that's why you have the first fruits, that's why you can bring them to Yerushalayim, that's why you give them to the Kohen there. What do you mean, do this mitzvah, for in its merit you will enter the land? You're already in the land to be able to do this mitzvah. So what's the Medrash saying here? So, Makshim Amafarshim, the commentators ask, number one, Hare Rak Lach Yishav Yeshuva Shayu Arbas Roshana La'acha Shenichlusu Le'eretz Yisrael Kimu Mitzvah Bikurim. They only first fulfilled the mitzvah Bikurim after they had conquered the land and settled the land. 14 years after Yehoshua crossed the Jordan. So, Ma'i Kabanash Shabbasuchar Mitzvah Zut Tikanes La'eretz. What does it mean? In the reward for this mitzvah, you'll enter the land. They're already in the land to be able to do this mitzvah. Question number one. Mitzvos of the land of Israel. In the land of Israel, a farmer is supposed to leave a corner of the field uncut for the poor. When a stalk falls, he leaves that for the poor. That's called leket. When he forgets a bundle, he leaves that for the poor. That's called shikcha. He has a mitzvah that once he makes his pile of grain from what he picked, he has to take away, 2% and give it to the Kohen as Truma. He has to take away another 10%, give it to the Levi as Maaser Rishon. Out of the 10% given to the Levi, 10% of that goes to the Kohen as Trumas Maaser. Takes another 10%, brings it up to Yerushalayim, eats it in a state of purity, that's called Maaser Sheni. In years 3 and in year 6 of the Shemitah cycle, instead of Maaser Sheni, he gives that second 10% to the poor people, that's called Maaser Ani. These are all mitzvahs of the land. Come the seventh year, the land has to rest. That's the mitzvah of Shemitah. These are all mitzvahs of the land. And in the land, you can't crossbreed, kill ayim, and you have a law of arla. The first 3 years of the fruit, you can't benefit from the fruit. You have to leave it. In year 4, the fruit has to be brought up to Yerushalayim, eaten there. These are all mitzvahs of the land. So if you're going to tell me the mitzvah of the land, Bikurim, is what gives you the land. So why Bikurim? There are many mitzvahs of the land. And all these mitzvahs of the land should be a merit to get the land. Think about it, the Jew who lives in Israel has to give away so much. He has to give away notain maaser rishon, he has to give away 10%, and then maaser sheni, give away another 10%, maaser ani. Bikurim really doesn't have a measure. Bikurim could be any amount the halacha is. So why of all the mitzvos of the land, the mitzvah that will get you the land, the mitzvah that's your key to owning the land, is the mitzvah of Bikurim. So two questions. Number one, how could the Midrash say, in the merit of Bikurim, you will enter the land? It's not true. We had already been in the land before we did any Bikurim, and then we start to do Bikurim. So what does it mean, in the merit of Bikurim, you'll enter the land? And question number two, what's so special about Bikurim? You talk about mitzvos of the land. There are lots of mitzvos of the land. So why don't those mitzvot garner you a right to the land? What is it about Bikurim? So explains the Nesivo Shalom. This is really a theme of his work. Our holy teachers have taught us. There are two pillars in his thought for how to serve God. One is a philosophical pillar, and the other is a discipline pillar. The philosophical pillar is faith, absolute faith. A Jew has to live with a belief that Hashem is in charge, Hashem is running things, and it's all from Hashem. It's all in His control. What He wants, that's what's going to be. If He didn't want something, it wouldn't be. It's all in His hands. It's not in my hands, it's not in your hands, it's not in the hands of any person's brains, or his work ethic, or his decisiveness, or his courage, or his, sales ability. It's in the hands of Hashem. That's our belief system. Hashem Morish, Hashem Ma'ashir, Hashem makes some rich, makes other people poor. It's all in His hands, and He's in total control. That's a philosophy. A Jew lives with faith, and that's how he looks at the whole world, through the prism of God's will and God running things. There's a second element of what a Jew needs to do, and that is to have a unique, disciplined relationship with the material world. The material world can easily drag a person down. We'll see in the Nesivo Shalom, the Hasidic belief is that when a person indulges too much in the material world, so that itself creates all sorts of urges and desires, and it pulls a person to the wrong place. So the second pillar of trying to serve God is to have the discipline to take of the material world what's necessary to serve God, and to deny ourselves what we don't need for the service of God. Ultimately, through that type of a discipline of not indulging too much in the material world, a person can get to the point where they redirect everything material. Everything material is used for itself in a heavenly way. So a person has a car, it's a mitzvah mobile to give people rides. He goes to exercise, to have energy, so that the heart is healthy, and that, God willing, gets to live a long life of doing lots of mitzvahs. And eat to raise the sparks of God that are in the food, and to have the energy to serve Hashem. That's the destination, where every material act is transformed into a mitzvah. But the path to get to that destination is discipline, to say no to what's unnecessary, to avoid excess indulgence, and that's called Kedusha. That's called holiness. So the two pillars in his worldview is, one, faith, an orientation that sees Hashem's hand in everything, and number two, the discipline that when engaging in the physical world, not to allow the physical world to take over, not to allow the urges to take over. On the contrary, to be holy. Rashi says, Kedoshim tiyu, be holy people, prushim tiyu, be people who are disconnected from too much of the material world. I have to issue a confession. This is a source of terrible pain for me. I remember once I was reading a memorial book of Jews from Grossverdein, which was a town in Hungary, and they related there a story that they said in Grossverdein lore that when at some point in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the winds of modernity and egalitarianism were blowing strong, and they wanted to, you know, become modern people. So they said, okay, the Jews can leave the Jewish quarters and the Jewish neighborhoods. They could move to wherever they want to in town. They could go to university. They can enter society. And supposedly when that decree was promulgated, the Ksav Sofer, the son of the Chasam Sofer, was walking along a river. The Jewish part of Pressburg, of that town, was, you know, the poor part, slum, and the wealthy part was, you know, the non-Jewish part. And when he was walking, he started to sigh and to cry even. And they said to him, why are you crying? It's such a great time. They just made this decree. We can move out of this, you know, tight area and these small houses, and we can make money. We can live anywhere. We'll be able to live in the fancy side of town with the big houses and the big yards. And the Ksav Sofer said, that's why I'm crying. He said, because when the Jews are persecuted and poor, and pressed in a little corner, so the Jew knows that he is in exile. And when he says in Shmona Esrei, "V'techezen aynenu b'shuvcha l'tzion b'rachamim," let our eyes see your return to Zion in mercy, he sheds a tear. God, I really want to go back to the land of Israel. Please bring redemption. He said, but if this happens, and all the Jews move out of the poor neighborhood, and they move into the big houses, and they become wealthy, and they become comfortable in Hungary, or you know, Austro-Hungary at the time, they're going to say, v'techezen aynenu. They're not going to mean it. They'll say it, but they don't want to leave so quickly. They'll be comfortable in the big houses. And then, that's the great tragedy. So I was talking with someone the other day, and it's a source of great pain to me. He said, before Tisha B'Av, he was thinking, you know, do I really want Mashiach to come? Do I really want him to come? So he was talking with some friends here in the community at the Shabbos table. He said, you know, do we really want Mashiach to come? So a friend said, you know, of course we want Mashiach to come. I just don't want him to come for the next 5 years because I just put in my pool. And that was literally this comment of the Ksav Sofer. Yeah, of course I want Mashiach to come. But you know, right now I'm comfortable with the pool, so I just put in the pool. If Mashiach comes tomorrow, I'm going to give up on the pool. So let him come in 5 years from now, and I'm already, you know, have used the pool. That's what he said in full earnestness. And that's a grave danger of the material pleasures and the material plenty. It's a tremendous danger. We forget the big picture. So that's what the Nesiv HaShalom is arguing. He feels there are two principles, a tremendous view of faith, tremendous God orientation, feeling that God is running everything. That's the ideology. And the second part is the discipline not to get too caught up in materialism and the physical world and in comforts and luxuries, because too much of that causes a person to want the wrong things. Person wants to have, you know, I don't know what the person wants, you know, the American dream instead of the Jewish dream, which is we want Mashiach to come and we want to go back to Eretz Yisrael. We want to live in Eretz Yisrael and we want to have Mashiach as our leader and we should be serving Hashem in the land of Israel. That's our dream. Our dream is not to, you know, live the American dream. Our dream is this dream, the dream of the prophets, of Isaiah and of Yechezkel and of Zechariah. That's our dream. And so the Nesiv HaShalom argues that Kedusha, holiness, to have discipline, to pull away, not to indulge too much. That's the second pillar. The two pillars of serving Hashem are faith and Kedusha. So therefore, says the Nesiv HaShalom, now looking at the second paragraph, V'yesh lomar b'bir inyan, to explain this midrash, k'mukubal m'rabboseinu ha'kdoshim z'chusim yagin aleinu, our holy teachers have taught us, yesodos avodas Hashem inam shnei inyanim, the pillars of serving God are two. This is on page Kuf Samach here. Second paragraph. There are two pillars. Emuna uktusha, faith and holiness. Emuna, faith, shahabore yizbarach shmo, that the Almighty, may He be blessed. Hubore, He's the creator. Umanhig, and the director. L'chal abruim, to all have been created. V'hu levado asa, He alone made. Ve'ose, and is making. V'yase, and will make. L'chal amasim, to all that are made. And out of this awareness that God made and is making it all, person realizes that his strength, the force of his hand, that doesn't help him. And all sorts of, you know, becoming so smart, that doesn't help him. What helps is God's hand. You know, everybody's talking today about what happened in Saudi Arabia a couple days ago with Iran. And I was listening on the radio, they were saying that they thought that Israel might get involved in this situation because Israel has a long ledger of claims against Iran and things that Iran is doing. So it reminded me of when Israel attacked the reactor in Iraq, the Osirak reactor. So if you read the history books, when Begin sent those F-16 pilots to go to Osirak, he was very nervous. He was very scared. He was very worried what would happen if they would succeed in the mission. They might, chas v'shalom, be shot down. And so he called Rav Raphael Levin, the son of Rav Aryeh Levin. Rav Aryeh Levin had been the rabbi, the chaplain of the jail, the Russian compound jail. He used to visit all the criminals and the Jewish underground fighters when they were in jail. Some of them were Begin's boys. And Begin felt a very close connection to Rav Aryeh Levin. So even though he wasn't alive, he called his son. And he asked his son to daven for the soldiers. And Begin himself took out a Sefer Tehillim. And he davened for the boys. Now what happened was an amazing miracle. When they got to Iraq, the anti-aircraft crew decided to be late that morning. So they did not turn on the radar and they weren't manning the anti-aircraft guns and they were actually eating breakfast. And so the first wave of attackers got in without being noticed by the Iraqi radar. And the Israelis had no idea about that. They had no idea that the guns were going to be off, that the radar was going to be off, that the guys would be on breakfast at that time. They had no idea. So when, thank God, all eight planes made it back, Begin was you know, euphoric. He said, this is the hand of Hashem. We had no idea. We had no idea that the anti-aircraft guns would be down when they first came in. Now, the second wave of bombers were hit by the anti-aircraft guns. After they dropped the first bombs, right away they started shooting. But the first bombs that came in, the planes were not attacked by Iraqi anti-aircraft guns. They were off. He said, this was the hand of Hashem. And that's the Jewish belief. The Jewish belief is it's all the hand of Hashem. Hashem is doing it. It's not that this one is smart or this one is courageous or gutsy. It's all Hashem's doing. That's the first pillar. The second pillar is Inyan HaKdusha, the concept of holiness, sheYehudi yachnia es orpo kasha, that a Jew has to break his, you know, toughness, v'yimser hana'osav, and walk away from his own desires and pleasures, and say, it's for Hashem. Hine be'esha Yisrael b'midbar. Now when the Jews were in the desert, these two pillars, faith and holiness, were very accessible. And now starting here, the second column, kidora midbara yudor deya, number one, the generation of the desert was a generation of tremendous greatness. They were great in these two levels. Ha'emunah shalahem hayta b'dargah gevuah ma'od. They had a very high level of faith. Think about it. What's one of the things that takes away our faith? When we have success in a job or in a business, so then we think, oh, you know, I was smart, I was courageous, I was hardworking, I got these things. Kochi va'otzem yadi. My strength, the force of my hand, asaliya tachayel azeh, did for me this great achievement. But in the desert, they couldn't think that, because no one was working. Where were they getting their food? It was man coming down from heaven. So every morning they had a reminder that it's all from God. And if someone would try to store man away for tomorrow, it would all spoil. So literally they went to sleep at night with no asset in the bank, with no food in the cupboard, nothing in the fridge. With only faith, hopefully God is going to send the man down tomorrow. And that was every day, 365 days, 40 years. They were filled with a tremendous amount of faith, but it wasn't just the man. Where was their water from? They weren't next to rivers. They weren't in places with rain. They had water coming out of a rock, Miriam's well. They had water coming out of a rock. So they just had to think of the water that they're drinking and the man that they're eating, and that filled them with faith. Besides filling them with faith, when that's a person's diet, they were filled with holiness. The verse says that in Parshas Baalotcha, that the people were upset, the asafsuf, hit avu ta'ava. Now it's a very strange phrase. It should have said, asafsuf bikshu basar. The asafsuf asked for meat. But the verse doesn't say that. Hit avu ta'ava. They created a desire for desire. So one of the great Hasidic rabbis, the Pri Haaretz, he said the following. He said, a person's feelings are created by the food that a person eats. So if a person eats lowly food, he ends up with all sorts of lowly feelings. A person who eats meat and the physical things wants physical things. So that's what these people were saying. We're in the desert, we're getting man. We have man, this is angel food. So what's our desire? To be angels. We're thinking of angels. We're being sustained like angels. Hit avu ta'ava. They said, we want to have desires. We want to have regular appetites, regular urges. Give us the meat. We want to be a lower people. But in truth, they were very, very elevated people. The Zohar says, Lo hava ba'alma dara ila kidara da. There was never in the world a generation exalted like the generation that left Egypt. V'lo yehe adiyesi malka mashicha. There won't be another generation like it until after Mashiach comes. It was a very, very high generation. So this is the generation of the desert. Man, faith, exalted feelings, tremendous discipline, tremendous holiness. And now what's going to happen? They're entering Eretz Yisrael. It's the end of the book of Devarim. We're about to finish the Torah. Parshas Kisavo, V'hayaki Tavo Al Haaretz. You're about to enter the land. So they're worried. They're worried, if we go into the land, we're going to lose this holiness. We're going to lose the faith. We're going to lose the holiness. Because when we go into the land, we're not going to be able to feel every second it's all God's doing. We're going to have to plow and to pull out the weeds and to harvest the produce. And we're going to put in a lot of effort. 8-hour days, months and months of work in the field. And when a person puts in all that koach and all that effort, it's very hard to feel after all that effort, oh, it's not really me. It's really the doing of Hashem. They felt, we're going to lose this faith. And what are we going to be eating? We're going to be eating natural food. So we're going to become natural people instead of angelic people. If we turn the page now to page Kuf Samach Aleph. This was their worry. Minayin tiyel lahem ha'emunah bihira zot. Where are they going to have this clear faith? Kfisher Oim Bamidbar, the way they had it in the desert, Shakom Yad Hashem, it's all from God's hand. Harei Hait Askut Binyanei Parnasa. The very fact that someone is working and getting a paycheck and depositing the paycheck, it makes a person naturally think, well, you know what, maybe it's my doing. Those who are smarter, those who are more proficient, they're also more successful. So now there's a danger. We're going into the land of Israel. We're not going to get money anymore. Their faith is going to be shattered. The same problem about materialism. Outside of Israel, in the desert, there's no materialism. They don't have clothing stores. They don't have food. They're getting man. They're holy people. But now we're going to go into the land of Israel. Now we're going to be busy with the matters of this world. Olam Asiya, the world of doing. We're going to eat natural food, from what comes out of the earth, made by people. That's going to arouse all sorts of desires. And so they're worried. Are we about to lose the very high holiness that we merited to get in the desert? Because now, then they got these levels because they were getting food from the sky, and water from a well. Sheinam orim tavos, that don't create desires, but now we're going to have all these desires. So this was their fears. So to these fears, Masalem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's mitzvah spikurim. Hashem gives them the mitzvah of the first fruit. And what does the Midrash say? Asei mitzvah zu, do this mitzvah, for with it, or because of it, or for its reward, you will enter the land. Not that you'll enter the land of Israel with it. You've already entered. You'll be able to enter the land. You'll be able to enter the land of Israel. You'll be able to get into all the physicality of Israel and not lose the two gifts that you had in the desert. The mitzvah of Bikurim is a direct message how to avoid losing holiness and faith. Because what happens with the mitzvah of Bikurim? We said that faith is greatly challenged by financial success and work. What happens with the Bikurim? The farmer goes and he has to plant. And he has to water, and he has to pull out the thorns, and he has to take out the weeds, and he has to enable the plant to grow. And finally, after months, I don't know, 5 months, the weed is there. So he wants to enjoy his work. It's not his, it's Hashem's wheat. The first fruit goes to Hashem. By taking the very first product of his labor, he is teaching himself, because it's Hashem who made it grow. It's really Hashem's fruit. All of my work is not my doing. It's Hashem who's doing it. It's Hashem's bracha. And he's getting the message of emuna, of deep faith, that with as much as we try and as much as we do, it's Hashem who makes it successful. It's the Almighty who makes it successful. A Jew works so much all year. He plows and he plants and he weeds. Now he sees the handiwork of his work. Ah, the fruit has the first fig is here. After all of this, he ties on it a red string. And he says, Zeh l'Hashem Yisbarach. This goes to God. Harehu more b'zeh. He's indicating, al bihirus emunusov, the clarity of his faith. Sheyodeya umamin, that he knows and believes. Ki lo kocho v'otzem yado asalo esachay l'zeh. It's not his strength that accomplished for him so much. Lo v'koach ma'asav avodaso sheim einam mo'ilim klum. Not his actions or his deeds. That doesn't help at all. El Hashem Elokecha hu anosin lecha koach la'asos chayil. God, your Lord, is the one giving you the strength to accomplish these great things. The mitzvahs bikurim, through the mitzvah of bikurim, mamchish yehudiyas ha'emunah, a Jew clearly has the faith, ki achar kol avodaso, that after all of his work, ein zeh shelo, it's not his. Ukamro, as he says, va'atai now, hine hevesias reishis pri adama, asher nasata li Hashem. I've brought the first fruit of the earth that you, Hashem, gave me. It's your fruit. Hakol miyatcha, it was all from you. Ein zeklal mishali, it's not mine. Well, maybe a sabikur mereishis pri adama, he takes the very first fruit. That's what he treasures the most. That's his first chance to enjoy. He says, no, it's not mine, it belongs to Hashem. And that also creates a sense of holiness. That creates a sense of holiness as well. The Maor of Hashemesh explains that it's human nature that when a person puts in a tremendous amount of effort and he finally has some results from all that effort, he has a tremendous desire for that. And so instead of going and indulging and enjoying and appreciating and eating the sweet fruits, he ties a string. He says, no, it's going to become bikurim. I'm giving it away. That's a way to take all of the materialistic desires and say, no, they're not going to rule over me. I can give them away to the Almighty. This is the reishis. Torah stresses it's the first fruit. It's the first where there's the biggest excitement at the very, you know, beginning of all the desires. No, I'm giving it to Hashem. I'm giving my desires to Hashem. You know, the Midrash says, God made a physical world because he wants a residence down in the lowly state, in the physical realm. And that's what this person is doing. Here he has his own fruit. I'm not taking it. It belongs to God. It gives God a residence. So that's the idea. Asei mitzvah zu, do this mitzvah. Shebischara tikanes la'aretz. In its reward, you will enter the land. What that means is the reward of this mitzvah, the result of this mitzvah, is to gain the strength to be able to engage with material matters and to use them the right way, not to get lost and to forget faith because of them, and to be dedicated and to dedicate them to Hashem. So once the Jews had the mitzvah of Bikurim, they were already relieved. Now they could enter the land. They could enter the land, they would still maintain their holiness. They could enter their land, they would still maintain their faith. And that was the special concept of the Bikurim. Now we know that another part of Bikurim is a declaration. The farmer comes, Vanisa v'amar t'lifnei Hashem Elokecha, he comes and he declares, Arami Ovid Avi, Lavan tried to wipe out Yaakov, Yerid Mitzrayim. Yaakov went down to Egypt, Vayagar Sham, he lived there, the Mesema'at, in a small group, Vayanunu, they afflicted us. Well, whole passages as we have from the Haggadah. We mention all these sorrows that we had. So maybe we can say the following. Maybe the point is that there are two themes to Bikurim: faith and Kedusha, holiness. So when he says, Arami Ovid Avi, the Aramean tried to destroy my father. Maybe that's about faith. Because what happens? Yaakov lives with Lavan for 20 years. After 20 years, he calls aside his two wives, Rachel and Leah. He says, your father doesn't seem friendly to me. He's upset that I have so much money. He's not nice. They say, oh, we don't want anything from him. Let's just run. So they run away without telling Lavan. Lavan pursues them. And when Lavan gets them, what does he say? Habanim banai. All these boys, they're my boys. Habanos, the girls, benosai, they're my girls. Kala shera taro'eh. Whatever you see here, lihu, it's all really mine. Lavan says it's all mine. That's the opposite of faith. Faith is that when a person has flocks and wealth, it's Hashem's. Hashem gave it. The Lavan who says it's all mine, that's the challenge of faith. That's the challenge of faith. Arami Oved Avi. The Aramean with his claim, it's all mine, all the wealth is mine, it's not Hashem's bracha. That's the opposite. That's what would destroy our father. Vayered Mitzrayma. And then the Jewish people went down to Egypt. Egypt, we know, is an extremely materialistic and lowly society. And those are the things that are mentioned. Arami Obedavi, Vayered Mitzrayma. Why doesn't he mention Esav? Why don't we mention Amalek? We say, no, Arami Obedavi, Laban wanted to destroy us. We went down to Egypt. Maybe because the farmer is saying, these are the two achievements that I am fulfilling through Bikurim. I'm fulfilling faith, not Arami, not the way of Lavan, and I'm fulfilling holiness, not the way of Egypt. Vayotzi'enu Hashem Elokeinu Misham. Hashem took us out from their approaches. V'atah, and now, Hinei Evesi Esreishis Pri Adama Shenasata Li Hashem. I have now brought the first fruit that you, Hashem, have given to me. I have a clarity, knowing that it came from you, Hashem. I realize the level of holiness. I should give it to you, Hashem. And then he says, Higadeti Hayom, Kivasi Alaaretz. I'm declaring today that I've come to the land. What do you mean, I've come to the land? He's been in the land for hundreds of years. The Jews were in the land the first time around 850 years. And they were all bringing Bikurim for years and years and years. Why does each farmer say, Higadeti Hayom, I say today, Kivasi Alaaretz, that I've come to the land? Maybe it's this idea. Through the Bikurim, I've come to the land. I've come to an appropriate usage of the physical matters, the correct way to use the physical matters, and therefore I am doing the mitzvah of Bikurim. There's a special mitzvah in Bikurim to bow down, to prostrate before God, to just spread out, according to the Gemara, his hands and feet, to go fully down, pishut yodayim v'raglayim, when he's in the Beit HaMikdash. V'hishtach avisa lefnei Hashem Elokecha. Perhaps the idea of bowing down is to get rid of my own ego. It's not me, it's not my doing, it's not my power, it's all Hashem, it's all the Almighty. The Bikurim gives that message, to have the faith that the success of the farmer comes from the Almighty, to have the holiness to take the first fruit and give it to the Almighty, and then to realize there's no me, there's just what the Almighty wants. I'm giving it all to the Almighty, it belongs to the Almighty, it's completely His, and that's the amazing aspect of V'hishtach Avisa Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. The verse says in Tehillim, V'yitein lahem arzos goyim, Hashem gave them the lands of nations, V'amal l'umim yirashu, and all the work of peoples, the Jews, inherit. Ba'avur yishmeru chukav v'torosav yinsoru, so that they will keep His laws and treasure His Toros. The idea is Hashem gave to the Jewish people a land with very, very great holiness. All the different mitzvos of Eretz Yisrael are all expressions of the holiness of the land of Israel. And through these mitzvos, the person can elevate every aspect of the physical world. I remember that someone once shared, he said, in Israel, when you buy a house, you're doing a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, the Gemara says it's so important to have Jews owning land in Eretz Yisrael, they could even violate some aspects of the laws of Shabbos to encourage Jews to own land in Eretz Yisrael. If there's a guy who has a piece in Israel and he will sell it, but he'll only sell it on Shabbos, so we can tell another guy to write on our behalf and to sign on our behalf and to do work for us on our behalf. We can't do the work ourselves, he can do the work for us, in order to have Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, in order to settle the land of Israel. So that's what this verse is saying. There's so many mitzvos and so much holiness in the land of Israel, and a Jew has to take these aspects of holiness and dedicate them to God by fulfilling the mitzvos of the land. The verse says in Parshas Vayetze, Vayakam Yaakov, Yaakov got up, Vayises Banav Es Nashav, he lifted up his children and his wives, and he went away from Lavan to the land of Israel. So Nachum Mendel of Vitebsk said that he and his people moved to Israel. They experienced a very terrible famine, and then people brought them all sorts of gifts, and they brought it to him from outside of Israel. He said, Ribono Shel Olam, I am giving to you whatever is here on this table, it all belongs to you. It's all for you. That's Vayakam Yaakov Ayisas Banaves Nashav. Yaakov lifted up his sons and his daughters. He said, it's not for me, it's Hashem's. And that's Vahayaki Tavol Aretz. Vahaya is the first letters of the words Yismachu Hashamayim V'Sagel Haaretz. The heavens will rejoice, the earth will be happy. The mitzvah of Bikurim in a certain way creates joy for heaven and earth. Why? Because these are the two pillars. To have faith, that as a farmer, as much as he does, it all belongs to God, it's all God's doing. And to have holiness, to take the physical, to control it, and to dedicate it to Hashem, to give it to the Almighty. And so certainly that's a very appropriate theme as we enter into Slichos, and this Motzei Shabbos, and soon we'll have Rosh Hashanah in a couple of weeks. 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be in Rosh Hashanah already. The idea of all the different things that the Almighty has given to us, we have to elevate them, use them for holiness, and we always have to remember that the Almighty is running everything, to have the faith that everything is in His hands, it's all His blessings, it's His control. We should merit to be worthy of those blessings and hopefully to have many blessings for us and the Jewish nation. Amen. Thank you.